14. They had made less than 7 miles before the sky began to darken and sunset colored the western horizon blaze orange. There was a grove of Susanna's eucalyptus trees nearby. Jake and Eddie foraged there for wood.
"I just don't see why we didn't stay," Jake said. "The blind lady invited us, and we didn't get very far anyway. I'm still so full, I'm practically waddling."
Eddie smiled.
"Me too.
And I can tell you something else. Your good friend Edward Cantor Dean is looking forward to a long and leisurely squat in this grove of trees first thing tomorrow morning. You won't believe how tired I am of eating deer meat and crapping rabbit turds. If you told me a year ago that a good dump would be the high point of my day, I would have laughed in your face."
"Is your middle name really Cantor?"
"Yes, but I'd appreciate it if you didn't spread it around."
"I won't. Why didn't we stay, Eddie?"
Eddie sighed.
"Because we would have found out they needed firewood."
"Huh?"
"And after we got the firewood, we would have found they also needed fresh meat because they served us the last of what they had. And we'd be real creeps not to replace what we ate, right? Especially when we're packing guns and the best they can probably do is a bunch of bows and arrows 50 or 100 years old. So we would have gone hunting for them. By then it would be night again, and when we got up the next day, Susanna would be saying we ought to at least make a few repairs before we moved on. Oh, not to the front of the town, that'd be dangerous, but maybe in the hotel or wherever it is they live. Only a few days, and what's a few days, right?"
Roland materialized out of the gloom. He moved as quietly as ever, but he looked tired and preoccupied.
"I thought maybe you two fell into a quick pit," he said.
"Nope. I've just been telling Jake the facts as I see them."
"So what would have been wrong with that?" Jake asked. "This dark tower thingy has been wherever it is for a long time, right? It's not going anywhere, is it?"
"A few days, then a few more, then a few more." Eddie looked at the branch he had just picked up and threw it aside disgustedly. "I'm starting to sound just like him," he thought. And yet he knew that he was only speaking the truth.
"Maybe we'd see that their spring is getting silted up, and it wouldn't be polite to go until we dug it out for them. But why stop there when we could take another couple of weeks and build a jackleg water wheel, right? They're old and have no more foot."
He glanced at Roland, and his voice was tinged with reproach.
"I'll tell you what, when I think of Bill and Till there stalking a herd of wild buffalo, I get the shivers."
"They've been doing it a long time," Roland said, "and I imagine they could show us a thing or two. They'll manage. Meantime, let's get that wood. It's going to be a chilly night."
But Jake wasn't done with it yet. He was looking closely, almost sternly, at Eddie. "You're saying we could never do enough for them, aren't you?"
Eddie stuck out his lower lip and blew hair off his forehead.
"Not exactly. I'm saying it would never be any easier to leave than it was today. Harder, maybe, but no easier."
"It still doesn't seem right."
They reached the place that would become, once the fire was lit, just another campsite on the road to the dark tower. Susanna had eased herself out of her chair and was lying on her back with her hands behind her head, looking up at the stars. Now she sat up and began to arrange the wood in the way Roland had shown her months ago.
"Right is what all this is about," Roland said. "But if you look too long at the small rights, Jake, the ones that lie close at hand, it's easy to lose sight of the big ones that stand farther off. Things are out of joint, going wrong and getting worse. We see it all around us, but the answers are still ahead. While we were helping the 20 or 30 people left in River Crossing, 20 or 30,000 more might be suffering or dying somewhere else. And if there is any place in the universe where these things can be set right, it's at the Dark Tower."
"Why? How?" Jake asked. "What is this tower, anyway?"
Roland squatted beside the fire Susanna had built, produced his flint and steel, and began to flash sparks into the kindling. Soon small flames were growing amid the twigs and dried handfuls of grass.
"I can't answer those questions," he said. "I wish I could."
That, Eddie thought, was an exceedingly clever reply. Roland had said, "I can't answer," but that wasn't the same thing as, "I don't know." Far from it.